Tom Karkel in the WRJN News Center. The forecast for today, plenty of sunshine with a high again near 80. In Kenosha right now, it is 64 degrees, 55 in Burlington, 64 Milwaukee, and 65 in Racine. One firefighter is dead in Sun Prairie after a gas leak explosion and fire in the downtown area last evening. It was about 40 minutes after a gas line had been ruptured. Responders able to start an evacuation right after that leak was reported, but the explosion leveled a bar and a massive fire broke out at a pizza restaurant. Two firefighters went to the hospital, one succumbing to injuries, the other in serious condition, according to Lieutenant Kevin Konopacki with the police department. He talked to reporters at a daylight news briefing, also mentioning a number of people being displaced by the events.
We understand that, people have been displaced. And as soon as we can make this secure and get people to their homes, we're going to do that. But right now, it is not safe for people to come back to their homes. We're still keeping that half-mile perimeter, and that's going to continue until we are able to make a determination that we can decrease that perimeter, we can get people to their homes. And as soon as that information is available, we will certainly communicate it to everybody.
Those people displaced being taken care of through the Red Cross's efforts at the local high school. A police officer and several members of the public also treated on the scene for injuries with that gas leak explosion and fire in downtown Sun Prairie. Again, one firefighter is dead, one in serious condition. A jury in Kenosha County deliberated for only 2.5 hours and found Donna Matthews guilty in the July 4, 2016 murder of ex-boyfriend Michael Gahan. It ended a 2-week trial. One undisputed fact was that July 4, 2016, Matthews went into Guyon's home unannounced and shot him. The state argued that Matthews was a manipulator and she lied, wasn't afraid of Guyon's reported abusive behavior. The prosecuting attorney in the case, Angelina Gabrielle.
It had nothing to do with protecting her life or that of her daughter. It had everything to do with protecting the fiction that Ms. Matthews created for her friends and family.
Defense attorney Jeff Erdogan compared Matthews' story to that of a hostage captured by a terrorist. Sentencing is scheduled for August 31st. Matthews, who broke down in tears after the guilty verdict was read, could be facing the rest of her life in prison. 18-year-old Racine resident Terry Kennedy has been charged by the district attorney's office with possession of a firearm by a convicted felon for bringing a semi-automatic gun on Monday of this week into the Dr. John Bryant Community Center on 21st Street. Criminal complaint says police detained Kennedy as he tried to leave the area, the gun discovered in a backpack. He's still on probation for a felony possession with intent to deliver marijuana conviction from a year earlier. Kennedy, according to the charging document, carries the gun with him for protection. He remains in jail. July 19th, his next court date. Even at his sentencing, a retired Kenosha County Sheriff's Department captain found guilty by a jury of sexually assaulting a woman in a Pleasant Prairie residential care facility he and his wife once ran, said he was innocent. 74-year-old Clarence Milkey found guilty on the charges, sentenced by Judge Chad Kirkman to 5 years in prison. Defense lawyer Frank Parise, asking the judge not to give his client prison, said it's not unprecedented for a jury to get it wrong and that Milkey actually has empathy for the victim.
That hasn't changed, and in fact, you see that in the pre-sentence. He doesn't have any animosity towards her whatsoever. She's just mistaken as to what her belief is as to what happened, and it's was our argument to the jury that that's because of her disease.
Judge Kirkman said that the evidence against Milkey included DNA, and a couple of witnesses said they saw questionable acts taking place. Concerns and a citizen complaint about a downtown Racine bar now fall under the city's new rules related to due process, and the Public Safety and Licensing Committee is being replaced by a newly named due process board, which includes a retired circuit court judge, some lawyers, and a former alderman. Assistant City Attorney New Arne, in addressing the citizen complaint about the Culture Bar on Main Street, said the next step in the new process is for a summons to be issued. She said the due process hearing with the new board is then held between 3 and 10 days after issuance of that summons.
The complainant may present evidence, he may show video, he may testify, he may call witnesses, he may cross-examine witnesses to support his complaint that was filed with the city clerk. The property owner, as the licensee, would then have his opportunity to present evidence, testify, present witnesses, cross-examine witnesses, Both sides can be represented by an attorney if they wish to do that.
The burden of proof on the complaint maker, said Arn, noting the Due Process Board's decision could result in a license suspension, revocation, or a finding of no probable cause. The ultimate decision about a license, whether it's to be revoked or anything along that line, remains with the Common Council. Arn telling the Alders on the panel it would be not best for them not to get into any specifics of that particular case with another agenda item.
Once the Due Process Board makes a decision, ultimately everything gets approved by the Common Council, and the committee members are part of the Common Council. So they shouldn't be hearing any evidence at this time that will be presented at the due process hearing. We want the hearing to be upheld, the integrity of the hearing to be upheld, regardless of what the results are, and that's why we don't want any evidence presented at this time.
Also under the new procedure, the licensing committee's formal expression of concern, which brought the bar owner to the meeting, according to Arn, essentially a warning, a second declaration within 6 months would trigger the summons process toward a due process hearing. And a proposed resolution supporting an assembly bill to eliminate the so-called dark store loophole on big retailer assessments recommended to the Racine Common Council as a receive-and-file item by the Committee of the Whole because it's outdated and the state legislature is off until January. City Administrator Jim Palahniuk saying Racine, like Kenosha and other communities, has been victimized by the big companies successfully in seeking assessment reductions based on their stores being vacant.
And of course, as you might imagine, when you're assessing for property tax value purposes, a entirely operating, viable, working Walgreens, Walmart, Target, whatever, versus, say, the old Kmart store that now is closed and shuttered, there's a dramatic difference in the value, particularly in some of those cases because you value them from an income approach.
Mayor Corey Mason noting the language in AB 386 is old, and a renewed effort to get a revised version through Madison will be pushed by the communities all over the state affected by the loophole. The Committee of the Whole voting unanimously to just receive and file that earlier version of the anti-dark store loophole bill. The Pleasant Prairie Plan Commission this week approving preliminary site and operational plans for Aurora Healthcare's proposed $130 million ambulatory surgery center and doctor's office building near the interstate and Highway 165. Those plans include 260 full-time employees, 140 being newly created jobs, 28 part-time workers at the facilities, according to the documentation. Buildings to be located on a 64-acre site in the Prairie Highlands Corporate Park. Well, from the State Department of Transportation, the I-94 North-South Project team announcing a construction contract for International Drive in Racine County between Highways 11 and 20, part of the development of the roadway supporting the Foxconn project site. More from WRJN's Janet Hoff.
Waukesha-based Zignego Company was the low bidder at $8.96 million. Among the subcontractors, Edgerton Contractors of Oak Creek for road and drainage work, Keene Company of Oak Creek for erosion control and marking, Lake Edge Logistics of Oak Creek for trucking, and several others from Metro Milwaukee. 15 of the 16 subcontractors are Wisconsin-based companies, with three being disadvantaged business enterprise firms. The International Drive project is scheduled to begin later this month to create a new four-lane concrete roadway connecting Highways 11 and 20, with completion targeted for late fall 2019. Janet Hoff, WRJN News.
A team formed by Racine County Executive Jonathan Delagrave and the Racine County Economic Development Corporation to come up with a plan for determining where all the people who are going to work at Foxconn are going to live. Former WISPART President Jerry Franke, talking to the county board last night, said this team will be looking for ways to help meet the expected need for more housing because if Racine County doesn't do it, others will. It's believed there's going to be a need for a wide array of housing available. Franke says not just single-family homes are going to be sought.
But not everybody that comes to work for Foxconn is going to be willing to make that kind of commitment. Furthermore, fewer and fewer people want that option anymore, so we need to look at rental properties. We need to look at ownership townhomes and rental townhomes. We need to look at what we call mid-rise apartments. So higher density is a form of housing that is being more widely accepted throughout the area.
He knows there's a housing gap in Racine County, and it's got to be filled. Looks like Amazon is seeking maybe a 2.5 million square foot distribution center in Oak Creek in a new business park. It would be several stories tall. It would be bigger than what's up in the interstate area in Kenosha. Amazon had considered several other locations, including Century City in Milwaukee. Downtown Racine Corporation, now officially designated one of the newest Wisconsin Main Street communities by the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, part of Main Street Day that was yesterday, as proclaimed by Governor Walker. WEDC Secretary and CEO Mark Hogan said that DRC is going to be getting support and resources from the Wisconsin Main Street program and his agency's downtown team.
Downtown Racine has achieved this designation because of the great work it has done over the past several years, but also because of the organization's future plans. Downtown Racine Corporation has many tools already in place that complement very well the Wisconsin Main Street program, and we look forward to working with you to ensure ongoing improvements are consistent with the state's new heritage preservation plan.
Mayor Corey Mason talking about downtown and Monument Square having that sense of place which other communities also covet. WRJN.com. That's our webpage. We keep our newscast there in the local news section and throughout the day at WRJN News. We'll get you our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Cargo, WRJN News.